So the first of today's reading is taken from John chapter 3 and it's verse 17. This can be found on page 1066 of your Pew Bible. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And the next reading is John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. And that can be found on page 1089 of the Pew Bible. Excuse me. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks on his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And the final reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. And that can be found on page 1203 of the Pew Bible. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word.
Loving God, be with each one of us now as we reflect on some of the aspects of brokenness in this world and how they might be healed or mended through your word. Over the last few months, I've been both challenged and encouraged on three different occasions with a common theme, and the common theme has been the word of God. Now, when something's broken, maybe we can try to mend it. Or maybe, like me, you get someone else to do it. If you go to the right source, that's the answer, basically. We had a simple example of that in our house just two Mondays ago. Nell was getting a wash ready, put the clothes in the machine and the powder in the powder place, switch the wall switch down, set the time. See, I do know how to work a washing machine. set the time for the wash. Set the time for the wash, and then press the button. Squeak, squeak, squeak. It just would not start. Well, she did all her checks again. Pressed the button. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Wouldn't start. So she called me. Do we still have the manual for this machine? Now, I normally have all these things so organized, and I said, "Yes, I'll go and find it." Well, I went up, went through the pile twice, couldn't find it. So by that time, Nell had noticed on the machine a little symbol coming up with a key on it. So we had the sense to know that that was telling us that there was a fault and we should do something about it. And then she remembered that our daughter Jennifer had exactly the same kind of machine. She got on the phone to Jennifer and told her what had happened and said, "Jennifer, will you get a look at your book and tell us what this key means and what we're supposed to do about it? So she said, okay, just hang on, and I'll phone you back in a moment. I'll go and get my book. Ring, ring, there's Jennifer, she said. I can't find my book. But, nil desperandum, he got onto the website, and in the company website with the appropriate model and the appropriate symbol, she was able to tell Nell, somehow or other, your machine has got locked and you've got to unlock it. And the way to unlock it is to press the start button, keep it in for just a few seconds, and that will unlock it, and you can go on with your wash. That's exactly what we did. Well, Nell did. If you go to the right source, everybody, then you can get some help. Now, that was a very easy thing to accomplish. But you know, what happens if your lifestyle is chaotic and falling apart? It's not so easy to turn it round. Do you know, at our men's group in June, we had invited a speaker to come from the Sunnybrae Alcohol Addiction Unit at Sunnybrae and Fivey, about 20 miles north of here, to tell us about their work. And when Steve arrived, he introduced me to a resident who he brought with him called Dave. He said, I hope you don't mind. I said, no, great. Now, it was really interesting to hear from Steve about the work of their charity called Teen Challenge and what it's doing all over the place. Magnificent work. But I can tell you, when Dave spoke to us, all 30-odd men of us, it was a pathetic story, but it was an absorbing story, and it was also a rewarding story. This young man was, I think, possibly in his late 30s by this time. His first time in jail was when he was only 18 years old for violence. When he got out, he was into drugs, he was into alcohol in a big way, and it was just a continuous spiral. Two guys from Teen Challenge, that's the charity at Sunnybrae, happened to be doing some street work in Aberdeen, and they met him and talked to him, and he was quite ready to tell them about all his miseries. So they told him about Sunnybrae. Now, Sunnybrae's treatment is a Bible-based treatment. And they told Dave that, and they also told him that the daily routine there was quite strict. But they did say to him, if you would like to consider coming, you can apply and we'll look at your application. Well, Dave was just at such a low ebb that he did apply. His application was favorably looked at and he turned up. He lasted 1 week. They're not locked in at Sunnybrae. They don't have to stay if they don't want to stay. But how else was he going to be helped? Now, perhaps you noticed my first scripture text today, everybody, was verse 17 of John chapter 3. And some of you clever Bible clogs would be sitting there saying, Leslie's got the wrong verse. It's the one before he should be reading. Well, the one before, verse 16, perhaps is my all-time favorite verse in the Bible. But look what verse 17 says. Verse 17 says, the Lord did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All this time, of course, my friend Dave was continuing to go down. And then, a bit like the story of the prodigal son that Jesus tells us, he thought, this is not going to work. This is absolutely awful. I wonder if I gave Sunnybrae a chance. I wonder if they would have me back. And he reapplied. He was re-invited. And when he was talking to us in June, he had been there for 9 months. He was fully involved in the operation there. He was actually being granted an internship to act as a sort of junior leader in the group therapy sessions. And he just loved to give his testimony in those groups, to tell people what had happened to him, but also to tell what was happening with him now, as he studied the Bible and as he got to know Jesus. It's an amazing story. There are thousands and thousands of people throughout the world, friends, who just would love to get a Bible in their own language so that they can read our story as well. My second reflection goes back just a few weeks when in church here we were going through a stewardship program on the use of our time. And we had the preachings from Joshua, and we also had contributions from three of our friends. Now, when my friend Helen, who's sitting up in the gallery wondering what I'm going to say now, when she talked to us, she challenged us about all the different ways that we were using our time. And she gave us a specific challenge, and the specific challenge was to spend a little bit of regular time with the Lord. The way to do that was every day, to make sure that we had spent some time in a prayer or spent some time reading the Bible. I mean, after all, friends, how are we going to know about Jesus if we don't get into the Bible, if we don't listen to his word? This is how to get to know him. That story about Thomas kind of illustrates this in a way. It's a well-known story, everyone. And it's the incident that unfortunately gives Thomas his title of the doubter, because he wasn't in the room the first time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his crucifixion. But they were so excited about it, and they quit all of them telling Thomas, "Oh, Thomas, you should have been here, you know. The Lord was here. You should have been here." I think Thomas is the first recorded example of a person saying, "I'll believe it when I see it." Well, in a couple of days or so, you would see in the story, they were all in the room again, including Thomas. And when Jesus appeared, he said to Thomas, "Come out here, Thomas, come over to me. Feel the nail prints in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Stop disbelieving and believe." Thomas's reply, as you would notice, was, "My Lord and my God." This is a little bit personal that I'm going to say now, but it was almost as if a huge cataract had dropped off Thomas's eyes, or maybe it was off his heart, and he was able to see Jesus as he was. Now, by sharing regularly in worship like we're doing this morning, friends, by getting a prayer habit established, and by looking at the Bible regularly, we can all get to know Jesus. Or if you like Thomas, when you know him well enough, it's just as much as if you see Jesus. My next reflection, my other reflection, refers to a recent meeting of the men's group. If you haven't been to the men's group, by the way, surely this publicity this morning is going to do some good. Well, we invited a speaker, Adrian, from the Scottish Bible Society, to tell us something about the work of the Scottish Bible Society. And you know, it was amazing to hear what he was saying. And he actually lifted all our spirits, I think, out of a negative feeling about all the things that are not happening in the church these days, to a positive level about what's going on through the work of not just the Scottish Bible Society, but you know, there are 140 national Bible societies throughout the world. They are all spreading this word. They are all helping people. A couple of stories from them. You're well aware over recent years about the situation in Iraq with regard to Christians from the IS group, the atrocities that have been committed, and the way that Christians especially were treated. An awful lot of them, thousands and thousands of them, were forcibly deported, as it were, or displaced to the northern part of Iraq, Kurdistan area, where there were refugee camps. They were bussed a certain part of the way, but not all of the way. They had something like a 7-hour walk from the bus before they could get to the refugee camps. The National Bible Society of Iraq was already working there, and when these people arrived, the people from the Bible Society could see that they were hugely traumatized. What they had seen, what they had heard, what they had experienced themselves, the journey they had to take, and now this refugee camp. They were just, as we might say, in pieces. So the National Bible Society of Iraq devised a Bible-based trauma healing program and started working with the refugees through that program. And bit by bit, they calmed down, their lives were changing, and the coordinator of that group, a chap called Nabil, says that the word of God brings people hope. The word of God brings people hope. And then I read too about a little church in Austria, in a town called Voitsberg. It's a Lutheran church. Now you'll also know from the past few years that the Austrian borders were very open at one time to refugees, and they just poured across the borders. Well, the National Bible Society of Austria was getting involved, but this Lutheran church opened its doors to the refugees to give them some practical help, but also to run some German classes with them. And they were coming. And then one Sunday morning, two young Iranian men who had been coming to the German classes, they turned up at the morning service. And after the morning service, they spoke to the warden of the church, and they said, "We enjoyed that, but our German is still not very good, and we can't just quite follow it. If only we had a Bible in our language of Farsi. Can you help us?" Well, he wrote to the National Bible Society of Austria, told them the story, and they sent him 20 copies of the Bible in Farsi, and also a whole number of little booklets that they prepared to help people to help people on the move. The warden wrote a letter of thanks to the Bible Society, and in it he said, "In all my time in church, I have never seen such joy on the faces of people who were getting a Bible. Never. They hugged me. They begged me to put a dedication in their Bible. And now, 2 weeks ago," this was when he wrote his letter, "2 weeks ago, the number of Austrians attending our morning service are far outnumbered by the refugees." This was the answer. And in Scotland here too, our Bible Society in Scotland came across a program some 3 years ago. It's called a Community Bible Experience, where people get together to read the Bible through a particular resource. The resource is in 4 volumes. There are apparently some 3,000 individual people from different churches in Scotland now who've gone through this course. And by the time they come to the end of the course, they've actually read, discussed, commented on the whole Bible. It's called the Community Bible Experience. The work that the magazine of the National, the Scottish National Bible Society comes from our last text, from Hebrews. And in Hebrews, when Suzanne was reading, you would maybe see that it said the Word of God is living and alive. And this is what they've taken as the title for their magazine. Alive and active. And I think you will maybe know that in 2014, when the Commonwealth Games were coming to Glasgow, the Scottish Bible Society got together a team of staff and volunteers to help in Glasgow. You remember they had a huge, marvellous team of helpers there. But they also decided that they would put together a little booklet with Luke's Gospel. And the difference with this one is that in it, there are quite a number of testimonies by some of the athletes that were at the games. I don't know if you can read the title from there. It's called More Than Gold. We still have a few copies at the front if you haven't seen this booklet. So please do take one. More Than Gold. Loving God, thank you for your precious word, more than gold. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and our light to our path. In Jesus' name, amen.